Blog Talk Radio.
We have to have patience
and mercy and long-suffering and some other attributes that go along with our faith that we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. And so on today, we're going to be looking at how do we become strong in Yah, in this walk. And I've done separate precepts on these in the past, like the armor of Elohim and those types of things, the word of Elohim. And so we're not going to get into those specifically, but we are going to look at these things, and I'll just tell you what they are as we go over them. With that being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head, and let us turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. Oh, and let me go ahead and say this before I forget. The 21st of this month is the new moon service. Let me look this up and verify this again. Yeah, 21st, April 21st, which is Friday. So this is going to be a Sabbath plus the new moon on Friday. All right, let's continue. So we have that announcement, and I will send out an email to that effect as well. And let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which to me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you and we glorify you. We lift you up, Father. We magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah Elohim. We extol thee and we just love to be on today, Father. And Father, we just ask that you would bless us with your presence on this evening. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. On today, our scripture reading on today is Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, verses 10 through 19, and we'll be going over those in the lesson as well. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 19. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, for utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Be the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. So let us jump into this, because in Ephesians chapter 6, let's go back to verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. And let me bring this up in the KJV. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, by the will of Elohim, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Mashiach. Grace be to you and peace from Elohim our Father and from Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Mashiach, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So let's stop here for a minute. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. That's not you and I individually, okay? What this is talking about is the Most High has set a, has made a position of children, his children, and all those who will become his children. And in his children, those that choose him, he has predestined them before the foundations of the world that they would be this way. So according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Those that choose him. So this doesn't apply to everyone. And it's not that he chose you. It's like you don't have a choice. No, that he pre-chose you to do this. He pre-chose a particular type of person. And he predestined that particular type of person to this type of glory in him. So we have a choice, and we have to choose him. Okay, so it would be like let's say you create a document, and in the document you say, okay, we're going to have awards in this document, and whoever meets this requirement, they shall receive this award. So the whoever is none, it doesn't have a particular name on it. Okay, and anybody that meets the criteria would fit into that whoever. You got to understand that this predestination was designed such that whoever meets the criteria, this would be the rewards that they get. And he determined this from the foundations of the world. So all those that are in Mashiach, that are truly in him, they would receive these rewards. And as we've been looking at in the false salvation on Sabbath, those lessons, you know, it's the true believers. It's not those that say they believe and then they don't do. But it's those that are the true believers in him that come into relationship with him. Because remember, he says, many are called, but few are chosen. And then he says that There's going to be a group that says, hey, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do wondrous works in your name? So they are believers. Something wrong. And so that's the ones that he has predestined are those that have truly come into the right relationship with him. Not those that say they're in a relationship with him, not those that are using his name, but are not in relationship with him. He predestined those that are in true relationship with him, okay? And not the ones that he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I knew you not. You used my name, you did these things, I even filled you with the Spirit, but you didn't really choose me. You chose that you belong to me, but then didn't want to obey my law. Didn't want to do what I said to do. So this is the ones that he is saying that are predestined before the foundation of the world. Okay. All right. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself. So everybody who comes into this right relationship with him, who truly chooses the narrow gate. But remember, as we saw in the Friday night study, that there are people who are in the broad gate. Those are not unbelievers in the broad gate. And that's typically the way that that's taught, that, you know, the straight and narrow gate and then the broad gate. But the ones who are in the narrow gate and the ones who are in the broad gate are both believers. They're believers, okay? And so the one that he is choosing are those that make it to the narrow gate and the straight gate. So that gate leads to life. If you come any other way, then you are a robber and a thief. So the ones that he predestined, that they should be called his children, are those who make it into the narrow and the straight gate. Not just simply saying that they're believers, but they also have to have his love, his agape love, which he revealed through his statutes, his laws, his commandments. I'm going to write my laws, my statutes, my commandments in your heart that you might do them. And as we found out also through Ezekiel, his judgments as well, that you might do them. That's how we know and can determine if we have his Spirit, because he says, I'm going to put my Spirit within you that you might do my judgments. Not that we would walk away from them and not do them. Okay, so this is who he has predestined. And when we read this, if we read it from the standpoint of traditional teaching, then we think it's anybody and everybody that believes in Messiah. But the truth of the matter is, he says that there are believers in him and then there are followers of him. That's why he gives the warning, how do you say you love me and do not what I say do? How do you say you love me and don't keep my commandments? So that there's nothing changed here in this group now, this predestinated group. Are those individuals that find the straight and narrow gate. And they come into true relationship with Messiah. So we know that from the scriptures, the Most High never talks to, except for repentance, he never talks to unbelievers. They're just unbelievers. But everything in these scriptures are written to believers. But there's two groups of believers. There's those that hear the word and they believe it, but they don't necessarily do it. They didn't surrender themselves to him 100%. And then there are those that find the straight and the narrow gate, that walk that path that he says that we must walk to life. He that endures to the end. This is who's predestined, okay? He that endures to the end in the straight and narrow gate. along that path. So he says, at the end of that path is life. Choose life. So understanding that when he's saying that these people are all those, because I've heard this doctrine taught many different ways, but the truth of the matter is, as I was getting into this and getting into the false salvation, then these other scriptures start to take on a whole different light. Take on a whole different light. Okay. So he's talking to a specific group, those that overcome. And we're going to look at that on probably Friday. We will look at what he says to the churches in the last days, to the church age, to him that overcomes. What does he mean by that? You know, it's not just a matter of accepting Messiah. Okay. So having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Yeshua HaMashiach to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. The beloved is the body. Okay, the body of Messiah. Okay, and we, when we walk in him and we don't, we do according to what he says, okay, then we are accepted by him. But we got to come into that relationship the way he says to come into it. We have to love the way that he says to love. Agape love, not carnal love, not familial love, not paternal love, but the love of Elohim. We have to love the way that he loves. That's what he says to us. You got to love the way that I love. These are my values. This is what I care about. This is how I feel about it. Love the way that he loves. Love what he loves. So it's like when you go into a relationship and you want the person to love you the way that you love them, same way. He wants us to love him the way that he loves us. But he is the standard. We don't get to meddle in that standard. We have to come up to his terms. He doesn't come down to ours. He comes down, he came down once and became flesh that he might die for us. But he came to show us, this is how I want you to walk. I want you to become like me. And I'll make you my child. And I will, and I have already determined or predestined what's going to happen for those that overcome. This is going to be the reward. And this is going to be the reward for those that don't overcome. They also are predestined because it's already been written. So I pray we can understand that, that we can get that, that the Most High predestined those who were going to come into true relationship with him and who were going to do what he said to do, and we're going to love him like he loves us and do what he says to do. Okay. And not just say, you know, I'm going to take this and I'm going to take this authority and this power that's only granted to us when we truly come into true relationship with him. Okay, so you got people who are casting out demons. You got people who are laying hands on and healing people. You got people who are doing wondrous work. And you say, how are they doing that? They're in the body. But there's something wrong. Because he says, get away from me. He says, they are workers of iniquity. How did they work iniquity? Okay, that's what the Friday night study is all about. Okay, but when we see it here, to be in that predestined group, then you are the group that has chosen the long and the narrow gate to walk with him in that. Okay, to be accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Again, understand that these are individuals who have come into the right relationship with him. Because see, even in Romans chapter 14, when he says, let's go to Romans, we're going to come back here. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. And I pray we can see this and that we can get it so that we change our walk. We change, if we need to change our walk, that we change our walk with him so that we can enter into this, the straight gate that he says, okay? Let's start in verse 1. See if I can walk through this real quick. Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not the doubtful disputations, not the doubtful, you know, disputes. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eats not. So he says, I don't want y'all judging each other. If you both say you believe in me, don't judge one another. If you eat meat and this one only eat herbs, don't say, well, you know, I can eat anything I want. And the one that says, I only eat these herbs, he says, don't judge one another, okay? And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for Elohim has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? If they say they belong to Mashiach, then they are his servant, or supposed to be. Okay? To his own master he's holding up, for Elohim is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Now, one man esteemeth another day above one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, this sounds like he's giving you freedom of choice, and it's what he's actually doing. Let me see what's really in you. I told you before that my Sabbath day is holy. My feast days are holy. And they are perpetual. They will never end, not even in the kingdom to come. But now you got one man esteems one day above another. Now, who told us what we were to esteem? The Most High did. And then you got another man esteems every day alike. He says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Whatever you're going to choose, be committed to it. So that's what he's going to judge you based upon. What's in your heart. So you might as well be committed to that. Okay? He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto Yah. And he that regardeth not the day to Yah, he does not regard it. He that eateth, eat it to Yah, and for he giveth Elohim thanks. And he that eateth not to Yah, he eateth not, and giveth Elohim thanks. So the Most High is saying, hey, one eats herbs, the other one don't, he give thanks. The one eat meat and don't eat herbs, he giving thanks. So he's saying, don't judge. Okay. For none of us live to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live, we live unto Yah. And whether we die unto Yah. Now, he told us from the very beginning, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to show you life, and I'm going to show you death. Choose life. But when it comes to Messiah, he's saying, hey, if they claim to be in me, they say they belong to me, I'm their master. I'm the one that's going to judge them based upon their life and what they do and how they do it. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Question mark. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Question mark. Why are you saying this or that? Because they believe this. If they believe this way, then let them believe that way. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah, of Christ. Now, we know the scripture, we're told that Messiah is not, and the Most High is not a respecter of persons. And so, from the very beginning, he told us to keep his law, commandments, keep his ordinances, keep his judgment. Now, this is what we were taught, supposed to be taught as, what I'm going to say, little children. I'm going to say baby saints. Except for if we come out of the church, then somehow the Old Testament never comes into play, except for, you know, to bring God glory, to bring the Most High glory, but never to put ourselves into subjection to his commandments, to his laws. Because somewhere, somehow, we got taught that, hey, those don't apply to us. Those only apply to those Jews. Okay, but he said he changes not. So he says he's going to judge. 9. And this is the verse I want to get to so that we understand. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be the Lord, the master of both the dead and the living. The dead and the living. As far as the Most High is concerned, we are dead in trespasses and sins. When we receive him the right way, when we come into the right relationship with him, then we receive life. For the first time in our life, we are actually considered to be alive by the Most High when we come into right relationship with him. Other than that, we are dead in trespasses and sin. And if we don't come into right relationship with him, but we still claim him, he says, hey, don't argue. I'm going to judge them. So they belong to me. Don't you judge them. I'm going to judge them. But he can't have a different judgment for those that are in sin than he's already had. If something required calls for death, sin, as we read in Ezekiel, Most High says, if you are righteous and you remain righteous, you shall be rewarded. But if you are righteous and you fall into sin and you die in sin, you shall be judged. All your righteousness shall be forgotten, and you shall be judged based upon the sin that you died in. And if you are unrighteous and you repent from all your unrighteousness and do all that is right, then all your unrighteousness will be forgotten. And so we got to understand that he's not changing. He's not changing anything. So if we never truly come into righteousness because we don't want to keep his laws, we don't want to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments, we don't want to love the way that he loves. We don't want the heart that he has for things. Say they belong to me. If they say they have accepted me, don't argue with them. That's why we're not supposed to be arguing with people in the church. We're not really supposed to be arguing with anybody in the body. That's why I tell you, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. It's not my job. That's the Most High's job. That's Mashiach's job. He says that he will judge. And so if we are in sin and not in the right relationship with him, but we claim to be his, he says they claim me, they're in the body, they are believers. But I'm going to say, get away from me. I never knew you. You said you knew me, but I never said I knew you. We got to be able to put this together. So in this verse right here, in these verses, in this chapter, the Most High already gave us what he considered to be right for us. Now, let me see where you're really at. Let me see if you're going to remember the Sabbath day or whether you're going to make every day the Sabbath. Because if you make every day the Sabbath, then you can't work at all. You can't make a living at all unless you're part of the priesthood. Actually doing ministry work. Then as the priest in Torah, he says, hey, on the Sabbath day, Messiah said, y'all break Sabbath, but it was forgiven the priesthood. Why? Because the law required that they work on the Sabbath. He says, so it is okay to do good on the Sabbath. You were keeping the law of Moses when you were circumcising somebody on the Sabbath. And you were making them, you were cutting on them and not making them whole, but you were making them sore. You are hurting them on the Sabbath, but the law required that you circumcise them. And to keep the law, you did it even if the eighth day fell on the Sabbath. So now I come making somebody whole, well on the Sabbath, and you're going to judge me? I come doing a good on the Sabbath and you're going to judge me that I'm breaking the Sabbath. But by the nature of your job, you broke Sabbath every Sabbath. The fact that you had to kill sacrifices, it was a work, but that was your work, but it was unto the Most High. He overlooked that. He forgave that because you were doing what you were supposed to be doing, but it was contrary to the law. So I forgave you that. Now, when it comes to the average everyday person, the Most High said, remember my Sabbath day and to keep it holy. If you're not part of the priesthood, if you're not doing priestly work, then I don't want you doing your servile work. I want you to, you can do good, but I don't want you doing the servile work on the Sabbath. That's an example. Okay. So one man esteemeth one day, and another man esteemeth all days. And he says, don't argue with them. Don't judge them. I'm going to judge them. I told them to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Where they get to honor every day, that's something that they're doing out of their own heart. And they believe that they are doing a good. But as we can see in the scriptures, thinking and believing that we're doing a good and what's acceptable to the Most High can be two different things. Obedience first. Obey my voice. That's what he wants first. He says, because disobedience is as witchcraft. It's as the sin of witchcraft. Disobedience. So he always wanted us to be obedient first. Be obedient first in everything. Obey my voice. And when we understand salvation, then it's about accepting Messiah as our Savior and entering back into the relationship that the Most High wanted from the beginning was us obeying his voice. It was us loving him for who he is and what he is and what he loves. He wants us to be evenly yoked in those regards. It's only one way in. I am the way in. Do what I did. Messiah didn't sin. I came and took sin out of your life. Made a way where I can, that you can start over clean with a clean slate. Now don't go and sin anymore. Don't try to sin. Don't sin anymore that you know. You know that's wrong, don't do it. But you don't know, I'll forgive you. As soon as you know, confess it, and I'll forgive you. And then to hate it, that hate sin, like he hates. Eschew evil, or eschew evil. Stay away from it. Do things how I said to do them. That's what I say is proper and what's right. So these are the ones that they learn to love him and his ways, and they endeavor to be that way. They enter into the narrow gate, the straight gate, the long path. For narrow is the gate and long is the path that leadeth unto salvation. And narrow is the path. But broad is the gate and short is the path that leadeth to destruction. And so we got to understand that he taught us as children. He taught Israel. And Israel was supposed to teach the nation. And Israel failed. But somehow, some bad theology has gotten out. And I believe that it truly is the work of Satan. It truly is the work of the enemy. Let me give them a salvation that looks like the real thing. So close, but it caused Messiah to say, get away from me. So this is who he has predestined, and he wants us to go back to the beginning. I taught you what I consider to be right, what is lawful. I didn't come and die on the cross for you to go back and be unlawful. I didn't die on the cross for you to go back and practice iniquity. I didn't come to do that. And any theology that is teaching that it's okay, he'll forgive you. You don't intentionally do this, but he'll forgive you if you do it. Not if you knowingly do it, he won't. And if you don't enter into the right relationship with him, meaning that you get his heart. What he has a heart for, you have a heart. Because when you enter into the straight and narrow, that's what you're going to get, his heart. You're going to get agape love. You're going to love the way that he loves. And you're going to hate what he hates. So when we read in Romans chapter 14, verse 9, remember that the Most High, the Messiah said it himself, is the Elohim of the living. But this job or this role that he's playing in Messiah, in Christ, he said, in this role, I'm going to be the Elohim of the living and the dead. So you can be dead in Messiah. And we've been reading that for about 6 or 7 lessons. You can be dead in him. You're in him and thinking that you have received life and have not received it. Being dead in him. Because we chose death. We chose not to do what he said to do. We chose to do what we felt was right, not what he said was right. Let's go back to Ephesians. Stand in Torah, the Most High says that he's the Elohim of the living. But in Messiah, in this office of Messiah, office of the Son, I'm the Elohim of the living and the dead. All those that say that they belong to me, they are in my body. They are believers in me. That don't necessarily mean that they're going to do what I said to do. They believe, but they don't do, like the Pharisees. Pharisees were telling people what to do, but they didn't do it. In Christianity, we got people saying that they believe in Messiah, but they don't do what he says to do. So, you know, as we were breaking that down, that scenario of how did they cast out demons? How did they heal the sick? How did they do wondrous works in his name? And they did all these things in his name, and they believed on him. And he said, get away from me. These are believers, not unbelievers. And so we want to make sure that we are doing the correct thing, that our motivation is correct, that we are learning to do what he says to do, and that we're doing it. Not trying to. Because strive will make you fall short. Try gives you an excuse to say, well, I what? Try. Nowhere in this book will you see find where he says try to stop sinning. Nowhere in this book will you see him say try to be righteous. We either are or we're not. There is no in between. And that all comes down to commitment, counting the cost and saying, am I willing to do this? Or do I think that, you know, I can do it my way and still get in? He'll be merciful. He'll be kind because I meant to do good. All those people who were casting out demons, who were healing the sick, who were feeding the hungry, who were doing all these things in his name. But obeying him. And another thing that I see in that, when they say, did we not do these things in your name? That's to take the glory from the Most High. Because he's doing it all. That's another lesson within that. But understand that these are believers. And right here, he's telling us in Romans chapter 9, these are believers too. They believe in him. One man esteemeth one day above another day. One man esteemeth every day alike. They're believers. So this thing is consistent. One of them going to make it in. One of them's not. One of them's going, they're both going to come up at the judgment. And the one who did what he said to do, they're going to enter in, and the one that did what he wanted to do. Because remember what the Most High said. And we'll go back to Ephesians. So we've got to understand that this is a battle for our minds. Okay? This is what this is all about. And if we keep this in mind with what we're doing, I am Yah, and I change not. Just a second. Let me look this up. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Let's get verses 1 and 2. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, listen, O Israel, unto my statutes and unto my judgments, which I teach you, for to do them. Listen and do them, my judgments and my statutes. You may live and go in and possess the land which Yah Elohim of your fathers give it to you. Now, whether they go into the land or not, or they're in the land or not, when they were in the wilderness, they were supposed to listen. Hear, O Israel, the first thing that he hear, listen, do. Obey my voice, especially when you're in this land, but even when you're in the wilderness and when you scatter into all the nations, you don't get another standard. You don't take on the standard of the nation. Do them. And this is what we have to come back to. Because while we were being scattered and in, you know, into slavery and told that, you know, this is somebody else's book and all this kind of stuff, which really doesn't matter. The bottom line is when we learn, we are to do them. Okay. You shall not add unto the word which I command you. I told you to honor the Sabbath and to keep it holy. You don't went and start honoring every day, esteeming every day. I didn't tell you to do that. But he's going to judge based upon, I told you not to add to this. Neither shall you diminish aught from it. Don't take from it. That you may keep the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, which I command you. These are those that enter into the straight and the narrow gate. To those that he predestined, that would be his children, that enter into the straight and the narrow gate, that keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and do them. That's the whole reason Messiah came back. Why he came back. That's the whole reason he came into the world. Away the debt that we owe the Most High in sin. And he has never changed. He says, if you do it ignorantly, in my law, I said, if you do this ignorantly, you can atone for it. But if you do this willfully, you can't atone for that. One time in Messiah, I'm going to let you atone for your willful and your ignorant sin. So what you know is sin, I'm going to forgive it. One time, not over and over and over again. One time in Messiah. Now go and sin no more. This is who he's looking for. And see, the enemy has played a trick on us and has sold us a salvation that is counter. The battle is in your mind. It's a counterfeit salvation. And so if you don't have on the true armor of the Most High, and if you don't girt your loins with truth, go back to Ephesians now. So remember, you can't add to this or take away from it. And what he's saying to do. Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. When we look at the armor of Elohim. Ephesians chapter 6. Saying that it's the enemy that has done this. Okay, the enemy of man, Satan, has done this. And he has gotten men to buy into it and to sell it. But the truth is in this word. Starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in Yah and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim. You're in a battle. You put on armor when you are at war and you're in a battle. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, of Satan. Why would you give man free will when you know what he will do? I know what you know now. That was a conversation between Satan and the Most High. This is my child. These will be my children. You the servant. So I'll prove to you that they're not worthy of your love or your salvation. They'll follow me. Whole different conversation, not in this book. So let me stop. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That ain't the battle, flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This wickedness, this false theology, this telling you that you will receive power and all this stuff, but you know, you're going to receive this, but you still got to come into the right relationship. You got to walk according to, as he said, in agape love. You got to get his heart, his mind. So how are you going to cast out demons without the Holy Spirit? How are you going to heal people without the Holy Spirit? How are you going to do wondrous works without the Holy Spirit? But then he tells them to get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Something else was wrong. They did these things, and they believed on him, but something else was wrong. And where was it wrong at? In their mind. What they believed, those laws. We don't have to keep those commandments. My Elohim is a merciful Elohim. He's a loving Elohim. He loves me in spite of myself. He don't say that nowhere. He doesn't say that anywhere. He always tells you to repent, turn away from your sin, and I will forgive you. I'll take you back. So the battle, the wickedness in high places, and that high spiritual wickedness is a false theology. And let me see if I can get you to bite it and eat it and believe it. And if I get you to bite it and eat it and believe it, then I got you. You're going to do all these things Messiah said to do. And he's going to say, I don't know you. You worker of iniquity. That iniquity is lawlessness. Not doing his judgment. Getting, you know, establishing our own righteousness over his. So I love when we found that in Ezekiel. And he told us that, hey, I want you to do my judgment. So Most High, that's extreme. You got my heart and my mind. You got my spirit. If you have the fear of me in you, you'll do them. Israel didn't do it. The church is not doing it. And we have to come to that place. If it's not too late. We have to come to that place because this is what he demands. So wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all that I told you to do, having obeyed my voice in everything, stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Not a lie, not a piece of the truth, not what you want to believe, not what you're able to stand, period. Because we can believe a lie and be damned. We can believe a lie and end up going to the lake because we believe the lie. That's why we must have truth is important. Can't believe every wind of doctrine that's going around. This teacher and that teacher, and this sounds good to me. I don't agree with that. What lines up with his word? Go before him and ask, should I be doing this? Should I follow that? Should I listen to Brother Miles? Should I not listen to Brother Miles? Go before the Most High. Ask him. Because as I told you, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. I'm trying my best to save me. Can't save nobody else but me. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having on the breastplate of lawfulness. What makes you right? Obeying his law. You wrong? Wrongful? Disobeying his law, his statutes, his commandments, his judgment. That's what makes you unrighteous. So the breastplate of righteousness is doing righteousness, doing that which he says is right, not what we say is right. Walking in his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his judgment. That is what makes you righteous. That's what should be before you. I keep the law. That is my breastplate. It's going to guard me from those bullets and those arrows that Satan is going to try to be hitting me with temptation. Trying to get me to do something illegal. Trying to convince me in my mind that the way I'm thinking, even though I'm reading something contrary, the way I'm thinking, it's okay. The battle is for our mind, okay? And in these last days, the battle is for who you're worshiping. That's another lesson. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Peace with who? Peace with your brothers. Your enemies. But most of all, peace with the Most High. You want to be at peace with him, and you want him to be at peace with you. You want to spread the gospel that the Most High is ready to make peace with you if you will come back to him, repent of your sins, and walk in his way. Then you won't have to face his wrath. Wrath is the opposite of peace. You'll walk in peace with him if you do what he says to do. If you don't do what he says to do, you are not at peace with him no matter what you might think. That comes from you making a commitment in your heart to him. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to do what you said to do. I'm not even going to love myself more than I love you. What he says is required. You want to walk right with me? You want to be at peace with me? You can't love nobody else more than you love me, not even your own self. You got to desire this kingdom, my kingdom, more than you desire anything else in the world. You got to hold my kingdom more valuable than anything else you could possess in this world. So you got to have on truth. You got to have on righteousness. You got to have the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is that Messiah came into the world to reconcile the world to the Most High, or the Most High within Messiah, reconciling the world unto himself. You want to be reconciled to him, and you want to be at peace with him. You don't want to add to or take away from. You want to do it. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The things that you can't see, the things that you hope for, but you can't see them, but you believe them. Your faith has to be in what he has said. I have faith that your word is true, Most High. I have faith that what you say you're going to do, you're going to do. And if I do everything that you say I'm to do, then I'm going to be at peace with you. And I'm going to receive the reward that you said that I should receive. I'm going to enter into the narrow gate. I'm going to strive to become like Messiah. And I'm going to walk in that way, whether I am man or woman. You got to do righteousness. You got to know his laws and do them. And you want to be at peace with him. That's where your faith should be. You don't know the end yet. You don't know them. We hope for these things. Faith, the substance of things hoped for. We walk in his laws because we believe that he says what he says is true and that we're going to receive what we're supposed to receive if we do it. If we do it the way that he says do it. That is our hope. That is our faith. But we got to be doing that in truth. In truth. First thing he says, have your loins girded with the truth. Because if we're not girded with the truth, then we're walking down who knows how many different paths. And you can believe, you know, Satan got Eve, he changed one word. And Eve believed it. He changed one word and changed the truth into a lie. So it don't have to be a big lie. It's just got to get you off track, get you off point. Get you going down the wrong path for the wrong reason. And he don't care what reason it is. As long as I can get you not worshiping the Most High and Messiah the way that they said you ought to do it. If I can make you believe you have liberty to do whatever you want to do, and he'll forgive you. I don't care, long as you're not doing what he said to do it the way he said to do it, because he told you don't add to or take away from it. The battle for the mind. Let me see what I can get you to believe. Let me look at your heart and see what's dear to you. Let me see how you think about things, and then let me make it sound like it's good to you. That's why all saints have to go back into the Old Testament, into the Torah, to learn about the Most High, to learn about the Old Covenant so that they know what's in the New Covenant, that you're not making up something. That's in the New Covenant. That is actually what's there. Because people believe that the Most High just deleted the Old Covenant, everything in it, and wrote a whole complete new one. He said, I ain't do that. I told you I would write my laws in your heart. Not going to be on clay tablets anymore. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Israel had the heart of stone. God's laws are his heart, his thoughts, his judgment. He said, I'm going to take away that stony heart I'm going to write in my laws in your heart. Wait a minute, I thought he got rid of those. No. But that's what's in your heart to believe. So this false theology, men spread it. Men, and I'm talking about men, bishops, deacons, popes, from the top to the bottom. I don't care what denomination. They bought into a false theology. Theology is how you think, how you interpret the scriptures. So if it doesn't start with truth, you surely can't end at truth unless you do a reboot. And I know why the Most High told me I will teach you. You need to more or less forget all that other stuff and let me teach you. A reboot. Because I was believing a lot of those things that the churches were teaching. Why would I not? Why would they tell me a lie? Why would they teach me something untrue? I mean, that's where I was at. Why would they do that? But the truth of the matter is, they want to do what they want to do, like Israel wanted to do what Israel wants to do. And so Satan was able to creep in. Remember, let's get this first. I guess 2 Corinthians. No, that's not what I want. Nope, that's not it. Give me a hot second here. Chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's get verse 14. We'll just get verse 14. Because that what Paul is saying above, you really have to be taught that or it will be taken out of context too. But, you know, Paul is saying, hey, I do whatever I need to do to get you to believe. But 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Like he's going to tell you the truth. Like what he's telling you is the gospel. And so people believe a lie. But it looks good. Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. If you're teaching a lie, then you're not Messiah's minister. You belong to the adversary. And the theologies, the doctrines that they teach, if they are a lie, then they are not the ministers of the Most High. Because Satan has ministers and formed into an angel of light so that he can get at your mind, so that he can change one thing here and one thing there without changing the whole story, but to get you to believe the lie. Messiah himself said, until heaven and earth passes away, until heaven and earth passes away, not one jot or tittle would pass from the law. Till all be fulfilled. At the end, when everything is fulfilled, then the Most High creates a new heaven and a new earth. Somehow, that don't mean that. The law would not change. Not one jot or tittle would pass away. The Most High said, I'm going to modify something. I'm not getting rid of my laws. And in the end, some of those things that I got rid of, I'm going to reinstitute them in the kingdom. I'm going to reinstitute them during the millennial reign. So Satan has got into the church and presented a theology that is not true. It looks true, but it's not true. Even to the point that you got people doing works in Messiah's name that he said he don't know. That he says he don't know. I don't know you. You doing stuff in my name, but I don't know you. I never knew you, but I know you. You're the Christ. You're my Savior. You're my Redeemer. So not being girded with the truth, believing something that one of Satan's adversaries got up in the pulpit and said, start teaching. Not Satan's adversaries, one of his ministers. Got in there and started teaching, and people started believing it because it was easy to believe. And it appealed to our nature to want to say or say that we're human. We're not perfect. We can't be perfect. When it's contrary to the Most High says, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. I can't be that Most High, then you can't belong to me. That's all that's saying. Then you can't belong to me. Because you're in direct violation of what I told you. I told you to be perfect. And to be perfect, we got to commit to it. That's the bottom line. It comes down to being convicted of it, convinced of it, and committing to it. To do it. Back to Ephesians chapter 6. Armor. Verse 16 again. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Because they're going to be shooting at you. They're going to be saying stuff that's contrary to the scriptures. Adding to and taking away from it. As it pleases them. As it what it takes to convince you to not walk the straight and narrow. What is the straight and narrow? What the Most High said? Because he said, don't add to this or take away from it. And take the helmet of salvation. When you know that you're saved, and if you are truly in salvation, then the helmet guards your mind. You won't let anything false come in. Because you'll understand your salvation. You'll understand that you got to have the love of Elohim. You understand that you got to love him more than you love anything, even your own self, which means you got to sacrifice some things. I got to cut some things out. I got to cut some things off. I got to cut some people out. I got to cut some things off. Sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. And it tells us what the sword is, which is the word of Elohim. You got to be speaking the word of Elohim. Not our own words, his words. In truth. That is our armor. That's what we use to fight with. We have the helmet. We have our lion cloth or, you know, our loin cloth. We have the gospel of peace on our feet. We got the breastplate of righteousness, how we conduct ourselves in a righteous manner. We keep his law. We got on the helmet of salvation that we know and believe that we are saved in him because we are doing what he told us to do. We walk in that. And we use his word. His word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me cut this and let me hack that with the word. But we want to do it in peace and we want to do it in love, except for when people are in sin. And we want to show them their sin so that they can come out of it. Because if you don't show them their sin, then how are they going to repent? How are they going to truly repent if you don't show them? Can't be afraid to do it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit of Elohim. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he wants us to be mindful of everybody's needs. We have to do what he says to do. But we have to protect ourselves with his armor. I think what the church misses out of this in their explanation, they have defined what's right and what's wrong. Not the word of the Most High. I've heard some preachers say that, hey, a woman in a red dress is a prostitute. That ain't necessarily true. That's been what your experience is, but because she had on a red dress didn't necessarily mean she was a prostitute. Or if she wore lipstick, that their personal preference. It's got to be the word of the Most High. What he says is right, and what he says is wrong. Now, he says that we should conduct ourselves or not conduct ourselves. What he says we should do or not do. That's being protected by the whole armor. So we should be dressed, the well-dressed Christian, the well-dressed saint, is dressed in the armor of the Most High. Spiritually, armor. Let's move on. Oh, I pray we can get that. Got to be girded with the truth. Got to have on the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Peace with the Most High. And your faith. Got to have real faith. But your faith needs to be based in the truth. And you got to know the word. Because we're supposed to use the word to defend ourselves and to attack evil. And don't forget your helmet. You got to have on the helmet of salvation. Spiritual clothing that we're supposed to have on. We are at war. And understand that we are at war. And the Most High didn't outfit us with some short pants, some tennis shoes, and whatever else to go with that. He says, no, I'm going to give you some armor. You're not wearing, you know, your best dress out here. But let me give you some armor to put on, and that's what you should be dressed in. Until we ain't at war no more, when we're in the kingdom, we need to be dressed this way. If you're at war, and the war is for our mind, what we believe. If what we believe is what we will walk in, it's what we will act out of. But we got to make sure what we're believing is truth. Because there's some things that are just personal that, you know, we won't go a certain place because we won't let ourselves go in our mind to a certain place because personally we feel different about something. Nowhere in this scripture will you find where the Most High asks us, what do we think? He doesn't do it. Anywhere. He tells us what we should do. And that's it. And he says, don't add to this or take away from it. So we're not even supposed to have an opinion. I think, no, what does the Most High say? If what you think is what the Most High says, cool. If what you think is not what the Most High says, it's your opinion. Leave it. At natural adornment. We look at spiritual adornment. We have on the armor of the Most High. Let's see what the Most High says is acceptable. How does Messiah say we're going to distinguish a good tree or a saint from a bad one? Go to Matthew chapter 7, the book of Matthew chapter 7. And let's start in verse 17. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, is cut down, and cast into the fire. For by their fruit shall you know them. Now look at what he said in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about fruit, talking about corrupt fruit and good fruit. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you can be doing your own thing, and you can be calling him Lord, Lord, Master, Master. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not professed in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wondrous works. They're going to say that. Ask those questions. Something's wrong with their fruit. Casting out devils. They are doing wondrous, wonderful works in his name. They're casting out devils in his name. They are professing his name. But something's wrong. They're missing something. And they honestly, these are sincere people. They believe they are doing what the Most High wants them to do. They have gotten into the body. There's no way that they can cast out spirits, demons, without the Spirit of the Most High. There's no way for them to be doing wondrous works in his name without salvation or what we profess to be salvation. Something's wrong, though. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, the ones that were casting out demons in my name, the ones who were professing that they knew me. The ones who were doing wondrous works in my name. Not talking to unbelievers. Something wrong with them. You're not doing the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? It's that you obey his voice, that you do what he tells you to do and you don't add to or take away from. You're not doing that. Get away from me, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Not I knew you, and then you fell off. I never knew you. Depart from me. They're doing these things in his name. And everybody thinks that they're righteous. They're casting out demons. The Ruach HaKodesh. They are professing Messiah. But not from truth. I said, how can that be? Because they said they belong to me. Remember, I'm going to call the good and the bad. That there might be guests at my wedding. And those that are bad, I'm going to say, hey, how did you get up in here? But see, we think the bad are those that are unbelievers. No, these are people who are saying that they know him. These are people who are casting out demons in his name. These are people who are doing wondrous works in his name. Hear what he's saying, but something is wrong with their fruit. And they want their fruit to look good, but he's saying there's something wrong with their fruit. What's wrong with their fruit? They don't keep his laws. They don't do what he says to. How are you going to be a righteous tree and have corrupt fruit? Your fruit says you don't keep the law. But you say you're righteous. That's why he says, get away from me, you that work iniquity. Wait a minute, we were casting out demons in your name. We were doing wondrous works in your name. We were telling everybody we belong to you. We believe in you. We told them, you ain't got to keep Sabbath. For them Jews. You don't have to keep his law. We're not subject to those laws. All we got to do is love one another. But the Most High says, if you obey his laws, that's how he's going to know that you love him. That's how he's going to know that you love your brother. Get away from me. You that work iniquity. So we have to have the spirit of truth, and we have to have the right theology, and we have to be doing what it is that he told us to do. And the Father's will is that always that we would obey him. First thing he said, obey my voice. That's his will. If you are obeying his voice, you're going to be doing his will. If you're not obeying his voice, you can't be doing his will, regardless of what we think. We're just right in our own mind. So these are believers. They believe in him, but they don't follow him. They're doing the works in his name, but they don't follow him. Because he did the will of the Father. The will of the Father was that he obey him. I do what I see my Father doing. I do what he tells me to do. That's the difference. Obedience. And if we're not obedient, we have corrupt food. Saying one thing and doing another. And look like we're doing all the right things, but we're not obeying him. So you have to ask yourself, how did they get into the body of Messiah? They said they believed in me. And I am the judge. I am the Elohim of the good, of the living and the dead. Now we can see how he has this title, the Elohim of the living and the dead. So these people are dead. I never knew you. They're not going into the kingdom. They're going into the lake. After doing all these things, saying all these things in his name. But they weren't obedient to his law. They weren't obedient to the Most High's heart. His law, the statutes, commandments. This is my heart on these things. This is how I want you to behave. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Whosoever hears them and does them, not whoever hears them and kind of do them. Not whosoever hears them and does what they think is right. Has to be the will of the Father. And the will of the Father was that we always obeyed his voice, commandment. I'm going to write them in your heart that you might do them, that you might be obedient to them. We got a lot of Christians, quote unquote, Christians, believers, that are not dressed properly. Got a lot of quote-unquote Christians, believers, who are producing corrupt fruit. And it looks good. It's pleasant to the eyes. And you might even be wise. And you can eat it. It ain't going to kill you right away. But it's going to kill you in the end. Let's make sure that we are dressed appropriately and that we're producing the right fruit out of obedience to the word of the Most High. That we're not adding to or taking from. Because we're never well allowed to do that. He never asked us for our opinion, what we thought. Just do them. You got Gentiles. We got Hebrews. We got the world coming into the covenant. And according to the scripture, the vast majority of them are coming into lie. Majority of them have been deceived. To the point that they honestly, truly believe that they belong to Messiah. And he says, they're in my body. And I will judge them. And I said, don't say nothing to them. I'm their master. They say they belong to me, and I'm going to tell them in the end, I don't know you. I never knew you. Because you did not enter into the relationship with me the way you were supposed to. You tried to come by another way. I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. Not that you might have death and that more abundantly. Because if you sin, the wages of sin is death. I'll show you how not to sin. How to walk in my ways. How to be pleasing to me. Follow my example. You can't go wrong. But the first one was obey. You obey, you will do my will. Let's move on. We should see that. Hopefully we see that now and understand that part of your adornment, the truth, and obedience. Be obedient to the truth. Be obedient to the word of the Most High. Believe what he says. Heaven and hell will have to pass away first before my law passes away. If you're still living on the earth and heaven's still up there, where in the world are you getting that we're not up under his law? Or where are you getting that there's a different set for the church and for Israel? But the new covenant is, I'm going to make this covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And I'm going to graft you into it. So if he's grafting the Gentile nations, the church, into the body of Israel, into his body, which is Israel, he's the king of Israel. If they got to keep him, what makes the Gentile nations believe they don't? They don't. The Most High says, I'm not unrighteous and I'm not unfair. I'm not going to hold you accountable for something that you didn't know. So teach them not to eat stuff strangled or blood. Stop fornicating. Don't worship no other gods. To get into my kingdom. It's not a real high standard compared to what he wants. And at the same time, he's saying, hey, now learn of me. Learn my ways. But Most High, your people wouldn't keep your ways. We don't want to keep them either. We'd rather believe that we don't have to do that than to do it. I know you said you're going to write your law in my heart, but right here, you said, I ain't up under that law. Then what law did he write into your heart? Anyway, just keep going. There's a lot of believers are going to be in trouble. A lot of people professing his name is going to be in trouble. A lot of people, you know, doing miracles is going to be in trouble. They're going to be shocked. You let me do these things for you. You gave me the power to do them, and then you're going to tell me you never knew me? Go to 1 Timothy, chapter 2. We're at, what, 652? We'll stop here after this verse for tonight. 1 Timothy. And we're going to be getting verses, chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 9. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefaced and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. He wants us to be adorned with good works. You don't want your outward appearance to be such that it draws carnal attention. You know, when a woman puts on a mini skirt, high heels, a blouse that is low cut, cleavage hanging everywhere, that isn't an advertisement. Godly either. Not advertising for that. Modest apparel. Not trying to show our bodies off and to attract that kind of attention. But which becometh professing godliness with good work. Let the women learn in silence with all subjugation. What does that mean? Because we got women that want to be in the pulpit. We got women that want to be passed. Let them learn in silence with all subjugation. Subjection. Submission. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. We don't like those verses. Somehow there's a new gospel, and the Most High had a change of heart. And he said, it's okay for women to be passed. I got a sister that's a pastor. I said, your husband's supposed to be the head of the church. You can be assistant pastor. You can be in subjection to him. You can teach the women. So we do things that are out of line. And because some man said that it was okay, somewhere up in some organization, it's okay. It's not that women don't have a mind. It's not that women don't have intelligence. It's not that women can't read the scriptures. It's not that women can't teach. But he's telling you in the next verse, why not in the pulpit? There is an order. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. The man was first formed, then the woman. And the nature of the woman is to react out of her emotions. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. She ate that fruit. The fruit of lies from the enemy. Because it looked good. It sounded good. This food that he's telling me, this looks good. And I want to be wise. He deceived her. And so then when we're in a world where most of the men are not doing what they're supposed to do, and a lot of women are running around with no head, what I mean by no head, no headship over them, then they're going to do what they want to do. We're going to take the lead. But when the men are in place, just as he told Eve to submit to Adam, he didn't tell Adam to make Eve submit. Nowhere will you find that he told Adam to make Eve submit. He said that unto the woman. So when the woman is not in submission, when she's not in subjection, she's in direct conflict with the Most High. Not the man, but the Most High. He gave her that commandment. And when we say that we believe in him and do not what he says to do, but we're going to be good on our own. Good in spite of, no, I'm not doing that. I ain't submitting to no man. He says, you are in disobedience, not to the man, to the Most High. And then we say we know him. Just another example. So understand that we can get caught up in this world. and we can get caught up in our life experiences. And our life experiences can tell us something that, you know, we're going to behave a certain way because we're not going to let that happen to us. But then the Most High says, if you come into one of these relationships, then submit yourself. Come into my body, submit yourself. Don't be trying to usurp authority over the man. Submit yourself. Adorn yourself with good work. As he describes good work, he's talking about obedience to him. Now, you have men that try to take advantage of this. And what I mean by that, they think they have the right to beat a woman into submission. You won't submit to me? Then I'll bust her in the eye. I'll beat her down. Submit. But I didn't tell the man to make you submit. You never have to go there. I didn't give him the authority to go there because he was supposed to be like Adam, meek. But let's be truthful. A lot of times people will see meekness and take it for weakness. For weakness. But the Most High says that he suffers not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. In the world we live in today, we got a lot of quote-unquote Christian women who need a humble pill. If you can't do these things, then you really don't want to marry. Because if it's your nature to usurp authority, to not be in submission to your man, to your husband, I won't say your man, your husband, the people that Messiah is talking about, get away from me. I never knew you. Because I told you to submit yourself. And you did what you wanted to do. We'll stop here on the day and we'll pick this up on next week. Adorning ourselves with good works, as the Most High said, not with the braiding of hair or with gold or fine apparel, looking good on the outside, but inwardly we are in such disobedience to him and professing his name to let it be with good works. Those good works are what he says to do, not what we define as good works, what he says to do. Obey my voice. Stop here. Any questions on anything that I said today? Any comments? Any questions?
Very enlightening lesson.
All right, amen. I'm sure it's hard for a lot of people to receive. No matter where we're at, because we're not taught that way. Or if we are, then, you know, we find it that, hey, that's not the way I was taught, but I'm just reading from the Word. All right, so if there are no more comments, no questions, then on Thursday, we will have the business meeting. The young lady, I can't meet with her or she can't meet with me on Thursday, so I won't have an update. She wanted to meet Friday, but Friday I'm at the farmer's market, and being at the farmer's market, by the time I get out, it's later in the afternoon. I barely have time to get, you know, back home here to keep Sabbath. And she wanted, you know, she was available later, and I had to send her an email saying, hey, can we do it next week, like Monday or Tuesday? I'll see if she's available. Because, you know, we're not even for this, we're going to keep Sabbath, okay? And so, and surely she understands that. So that being said, we will meet Thursday. I will go over some of the documents that I hadn't shown you guys yet, as far as the grant request, the new one that I've written, the curriculum and things like that, that the way that I've modified them, the way that I think, with the exception of one, is how we're going to submit, as, you know, our request, and then the application, and try to meet the requirements in the application. So we'll talk about that on Thursday. And then remember, Friday is the new moon, and so it's a Sabbath also. So we will celebrate the new moon on this Sabbath, and I may modify the service concerning that. I may modify the service. May do things a little bit different. But we'll see. I have to wait and see what I get. We may keep to the same format. But just know that Friday is the new moon service, and it's also the Sabbath. And we'll just go from there. All right. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Where are my credits at?
Without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do?
Gary.
Peace and blessings to you all.
Amen.